So it's part three of the story of the rich man and Lazarus, entitled The Comfortable, that's the rich man, and The Comforted, that's the poor beggar named Lazarus. And we appreciate you listening online. Due to the coronavirus, we won't be having a gathering on Sundays for the next couple of weeks. And let me just encourage you and ask you if you could be kind enough to send in your donations, your offerings. You can do that either by going online or by sending a check or just waiting until we gather again. But your offerings are very much appreciated. All right, let's just open in prayer. Father, we thank you for this beautiful story of the one who was carried by angels into paradise and the other who fell into the deepest of graves, eventually the lake of fire. Lord, we pray that our hearts will be moved to know you, to love you, to do your will, and indeed, Lord, to be more like Lazarus than the rich man. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So our story is found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And he sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence, from here to you, cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence, from where you are. And he said, I pray thee, Father Abraham, that thou would ascend into my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Then Abraham said to him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I'd like to spend a few minutes in review from the past two messages on the rich man and Lazarus. We said the rich man went to hell not because he was rich, but because in actuality he was poor. He was so poor he could not in hell even afford a drop of water. And Lazarus went to paradise, to heaven, not because he was poor, but because he was rich. See, the Bible says and tells us in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 5, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? Remember, Jesus spoke to the seven churches of Asia. And there was a comparison I made between the one church of Smyrna and the other church of Laodicea. Jesus said to Laodicea, to Smyrna, you are poor but rich. And he said to Laodicea, you are rich but poor. Because they had increased with goods. They were seeking lives of comfort. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And I ask, what does that have to do with salvation? It sounds like Abraham saying to the rich man, because you had all the comforts the world could offer, you dressed in good clothing, you ate the best of foods, you had so much money, now you're in hell, and Lazarus had nothing, and now he's in paradise. That's what it sounds like. But what has this to do with salvation? Actually, it has everything to do with salvation. You see, this is the faith that works. The faith that Lazarus had is the faith that picked up the cross to follow Jesus. This verse actually sums up, okay, what faith is all about. It's choosing the way of the cross, willing to do God's will, even if it means to sit on the side of the road in rags and beg for food. Though God rarely asks his people to do that, yet it may come to that. We read in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, where Jesus said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And that's exactly what Lazarus, the beggar, was doing. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. That's what the rich man was doing. He was trying to save his life, and he eventually lost it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, that's Lazarus. He gave up all his desires. All he desired was crumbs. In a sense, he was praying, Lord, give us this day our daily crumbs, my daily crumbs. He didn't ask to be seated at the rich man's table. He didn't ask to wear the rich man's clothing. He didn't desire to be the rich man. All he wanted was his daily crumbs. He lost his life into the will of God. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Remember the story of told in the Gospel of Mark when the rich young ruler came to Jesus. And we read there, and this young man was asking for eternal life. What am I lacking? Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said to him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, and sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. Now, just as God does not ask his people to sit on the street corner with a tin cup and rags begging food, he doesn't ask us to sell everything, but rather to give up our will concerning everything. To give up our own dreams, our desires, our ambitions, and place ourselves perfectly in the will of God. And so this rich young ruler was given a choice. There is treasure in heaven, but you can only take that treasure and find that treasure and own that treasure if you pick up the cross and follow me. And this rich young ruler went away full of sorrow because he chose his earthly treasures rather than the heavenly treasures. He chose the comforts of wealth rather than the suffering of the cross. Lazarus chose the cross, whereas the rich man chose the comforts. We have another beautiful example in the Bible about Moses, recorded in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Here was Moses, a prince, someday maybe heir to the throne. But he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin, the sinful pleasures of Egypt, for a season. Moses knew those pleasures were temporary. That throne he sat on as a prince was temporary. The crown he wore was only temporary. All the fine clothing was temporary. He'd rather be crowned with an immortal crown. And so, esteeming the reproach of Christ, that's right, the shame of Christ, esteeming, honoring the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, he had respect unto the recompense or the payment of the reward. And we see that's what that beggar Lazarus had. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than that rich man who fared sumptuously every day, dressed in fine linen, had. He would rather suffer according to the will of God. And I ask you, dear listeners, are you willing to suffer according to the will of God? Today I want to show you seven things about the rich man who's now forever poor man. First, I want to share with you three attitudes that brought the rich man to hell. Three attitudes that kept him out of heaven. Attitudes that reigned in his life because he was poor in faith. Remember the church of Laodicea? You're rich, but you're poor. And the church of Smyrna, you are poor, but rich. That's a beautiful portrayal of the rich man in Lazarus. He was so poor, as I said before, he could not afford one drop of water. When Lazarus was wealthy in all that comfort. And secondly, I want to share with you four things the rich man did too late, which would have prevented him from going to that place of torment. First, sinful attitude, found in verse 24. He cried in hell and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Here's the first attitude. It's the attitude of serve me. You see, the rich like to be served. Well, probably some poor people do, right? That's why many poor people desire to be rich. Remember when Jesus said to his disciples how difficult it will be for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. And then when Peter heard that, he said, "Lord, who then can be saved?" It was sounding as if Peter was saying, "We're all rich." No, most people weren't rich, but they wanted to be rich. Those that want to be rich will eventually fall into perdition, says the Apostle Paul. And so the rich man wanted to be served. He wanted Lazarus to come and serve him with water. See, God wants us to be rid of that serve me attitude and rather say, who can I serve? Not who is my neighbor, but to whom can I be a neighbor? We read in Isaiah 65, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but ye shall be hungry." You see, the rich man went hungry in hell, but Lazarus, he feasted. "Behold, my servants shall drink, as Lazarus did in heaven, but ye, those who are not my servants, shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice like Lazarus, but ye shall be ashamed like the rich man, now forever poor man. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for the vexation of spirit." Yes, Jesus said in John 12, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servants be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Hell is a place of dishonor. Heaven is a place of honor for those who serve the Lord. Now notice two things in this story. It's quite apparent that the rich man never gave the beggar Lazarus even a crumb of bread. Why? Because he was not a servant of the Lord Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, "Love one another as I have loved you." That we should serve one another. Right? Love your neighbor as yourself. And Lazarus was his neighbor. But he had no concern for him. He did not serve him. That's the first thing you should notice. Secondly, Abraham said to the rich man in verse 26. Besides all this, as to why Lazarus cannot come and give you water, between us and you there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence, from here to you, cannot. In other words, they would. If Abraham asked Lazarus to leave paradise with some water, to go down to that horrible place of torment and cool this man's tongue, he would have done it, because that's what Abraham said. They which would pass from here cannot. They're not allowed to. Lazarus had a servant's heart and would have left the comforts of paradise to comfort the rich man who never comforted him. The second sinful attitude that brought the rich man down to that place of torment is found in verses 27 and 28. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Now why is this a sinful attitude? It's the attitude that says, because I am rich, I am privileged. He said, Abraham, send Lazarus to my father's house, to my five brethren in particular, not to all my neighbors, not to as many as Lazarus can find, but to my brothers. He was only thinking about his family. Charles Spurgeon, the great prince of preachers, said family is synonymous with self. He was only thinking of his own. Why? Because he only thought of his own before, his own money, his own pleasure, his own comfort, his own privileges. And now he lost all of that. The third sinful attitude that brought this former rich man to hell is found in verses 29 and 30. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Let your brothers listen to the prophets and to Moses. And what did the former rich man say? No, Father Abraham. But if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. What is this attitude? No, Father Abraham. This is the stubborn attitude, the self-willed attitude. One thinks they know better than God. Here is Abraham speaking from paradise with all the authority of Almighty God. And yet the former rich man, now forever poor man, could only oppose Abraham. And opposing Abraham, he was opposing God. These are the attitudes that caused him to be separated from Lazarus by that great gulf, separated for all eternity. Those attitudes, the serve me attitude, not let me be a servant, but serve me, that I'm privileged attitude, and that stubborn attitude that says, I know better than God. Now there are four things that the rich man did too late. The first is found in verse 23. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, a place that he could never reach, and Lazarus in his bosom. What was this that he did too late? He lifted up his eyes. He lifted up his eyes to heaven. He now could see that there is an eternal life of joy and peace and comfort and being comfortable. Imagine how comfortable Lazarus was sitting there on Abraham's lap. There are no dogs licking his wounds. There are no rags on his body. There are no crumbs in his hand, but a feast. And this is what the rich man, now poor man, saw. He lifted up his eyes and he saw heaven. David said in Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. Those are the hills of heaven. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. When Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus how to be born again, he came to this point, and this really should have clarified it to Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee. Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What did he mean by that? Well, go back to Numbers chapter 21, when the serpents were biting the people because of their disobedience, their murmuring and complaining. The Lord said to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent or a brass serpent, set it upon a pole, fiery being also poisonous. Set it upon a pole. It shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon it, when they lift up their eyes upon that brazen serpent, they shall live. Why did God choose a serpent to go on the pole and not a lamb? Remember, Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent, why did he refer to himself as a serpent on a pole? Why? Because the serpent on the pole of Moses represented what was biting the people, what was killing the people, what was keeping them separate from God, their sin. And the sin was put on Jesus. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. And when we look on Jesus in faith, the power of sin is destroyed. That fiery serpent bit the Lord Jesus. He took the pain and the wrath of God that we might go free. And so we have to lift up our eyes to Jesus, to heaven. The Apostle Paul says, set your affection on things above. Set your eyes, your desires, your interests on things above and not on the earth. That's a double command. The rich man, now in hell, was reminded where he set his eyes before. He set his eyes on the things below, on how comfortable he could be, how rich he could be, how happy he could be, and he lost it all. But Lazarus, while he was lying there, set his affection on things above. I'm wearing rags now, but someday I'll be dressed in the robes of royalty. I'm eating crumbs maybe once in a while, but I'll feast at the table of the Lord. Right now I'm crowned with suffering and pain, but someday I'll be crowned immortal with immortality and life abundance. The second thing the rich man did too late is found in verse 24. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Have mercy. He cried for mercy. I'm sure that hell will be filled with this cry. Mercy, God, mercy. But too late, too late, too late. Jesus said there were two men in the temple. The Pharisee who prayed selfishly, boasting of his accomplishments, of his religion. But there was the tax collector, a standing far off. He would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Yes, when the greatest sinner like this tax collector truly prays for mercy, they will find it. And Jesus said, that man, that tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself, and that's what that rich man did, he exalted himself. He chose the best for himself. Remember what Jesus said, when you're invited to a feast, do not choose the chief seats, lest someone come to you and say, go sit down lower, and you'll be ashamed. And there is the shame that this rich man felt. In hell, he was asked to go to the lowest seats because he had chosen the best seats for himself. But Lazarus was content. to sit at that low seat on the curb outside the rich man's house. He was content and he was lifted up. Yes, for everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, but he that humbles himself shall be exalted. And the third thing the rich man did too late is found in verse 27, 28. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father Abraham, that thou wouldest send Lazarus to my father's house. Again, he had felt privileged, but here he had a genuine concern for his brothers, for I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. What did he do too late? He showed concern for the souls of his brothers. He should have shown concern before. Perhaps he was concerned about how much money they would make and how happy they could be. Maybe to spread the wealth around. But he was too late. His concern for his brethren, though in a sense, yes, from a privileged state of mind, it was too late. It was too late. He should have warned his brethren, but he should have warned himself first. The fourth thing, too late, was what his brothers needed to do that he didn't do, found in verse 30. He said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Repent. He wanted his brothers to repent. He saw the need, not just of belief in heaven and hell, which many people do in many different religions. Not just the belief, even devils believe and they're trembled, says James, but to repent of their sins. Charles Spurgeon said, repentance is to leave the sin we loved before and show that we in earnest grieve by doing so no more. You see, beloved, it's not enough just to ask God for mercy. That tax collector in the back of the temple that smote himself on the breast and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He was justified. But he had to leave off cheating people like Zacchaeus, the tax collector, who was going to repay anyone he robbed and give goods to the poor to show that he was truly repentant. It's not enough just to ask God for mercy. You know, many do that on a weekly and some on a daily basis, going into church, either confessing to a priest or confessing to God, but not repenting, not turning from their sin. Solomon says, he that confesses and forsakes his sin shall find mercy. So why did the rich man go to hell? It was not because he was rich. He could have gone to heaven. Remember, the Apostle Paul warned Timothy to warn the rich in his flock. Number one, not to be high-minded, not to be made proud by riches, not to trust in uncertain riches, and to distribute what they have. This the rich man, now forever poor man, did not do. He was high-minded. He only wanted the best for himself. And friends, that is being high-minded. When you exalt yourself above others, when you want more than others have, or even want what others have, that's covetousness. And the Bible says that our behavior should be without covetousness. For covetousness is idolatry, Scripture tells us. That godliness with contentment is great gain. That's what made Lazarus rich. Godliness with contentment. And I'm sure there was a time, like the Apostle Paul, who said he learned to be content, that Lazarus was not content. Perhaps when he was first laid there and saw the splendor of the rich man's house, he wanted that. But God withheld that from him. He learned to be content with even a few crumbs if he could get them. He learned to be content. So why did the rich man go to hell? Because he was poor. Poor in faith. He had no faith. He had instead sinful attitudes. And you know, faith in Christ will cause those sinful, selfish, prideful attitudes to vanish. It is by faith that we overcome the world. It is by faith in Christ that we overcome the discontentment we have. And we want more and more and more. We covet more and more and more. If only the rich man had looked to Christ and repented of his sins. This is what I believe Lazarus did. Looking heavenward, praying for contentment. It is not an easy thing to be content in a place like Lazarus was in. It is not easy to be content, but it is possible through Christ. To know that we have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Remember Jesus. The Bible says that we should look unto Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, thinking nothing of the shame, paying no heed to it. Why? For the joy set before him. Oh, friends, that we would set our affection on things above and do what many do not do. They try to keep their affection on things below also. And Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. Jesus tells us, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not on the earth. Let us look to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the rich man and Lazarus. Even though the rich man's story is a sad one, we see, Lord, the comparison between one who sought only his own comfort, but lost the comfort of the Holy Spirit. He lost the comfort of heaven and the comfortableness of heaven. Whereas Lazarus had really no earthly comforts, yet was comforted, especially when the angels took his soul heavenward. Lord, let us be like Lazarus, more than the rich man. Yes, Lord, you warn those who have this world's goods not to be high-minded, but rather to fear God, to not trust in these uncertain riches, and distribute what we have. Oh, Lord, help us to be more like Lazarus, to bear the cross and follow Jesus. So even if you were to call us to such a destitute place as you did Lazarus, we would not be destitute of joy. We would not be destitute of hope. We'd be filled with heavenly comfort. Oh Lord, fill us with the love for your word, the love for Jesus. And we pray this in his precious name. Amen.